started it. I should have already. Okay. Baruch Hashem, I have the schuss to be able to develop some of the more important hashkafas in dating. The process, what a person should be looking for, and most importantly, the koyach of emuna, the koyach of hamshacha. How valuable it is. How lucky we have, Ashreinu Matayv Chalkenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us Simanim, Kochos HaNefesh, to be able to discern by using them the idea that a Shidduch is a Metziah, that a person is looking for that which belongs to him. That Chava was a missing part of Adam, Kivyachal. And every Shidduch is a Yoytzer HaAdam, that a person is looking for that Metziah. That person who is literally his other half, to becoming whole. Of which the Sami Rebbe said that Bizman Hazed, this Koyach of Hamshacha and Ashidach, is a Bechina of Ruach HaKodesh Bizmaninu. That's what we're looking to be Ma'ayr, whether you go down the Chasidish Mahalach, or whether you go down, you know, in our more modern communities, which is more Alpi HaSeichel, doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. That there's more Seichel perhaps involved, whereas pure Emuna, as by the Hasidim, as it would appear from Chazal to be. Benkach u'benkach, it's to be ma'ayr the hamshacha. The koyach na'ala shabenefesh, which is mevayrin, says to a person, it's pointing. Hino elakeinu zeh. Zeh keli v'anvehu. This is what it is. If you take a look at the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Kiseitze, it was in his yortzeit today, actually. Schusi Yogan Aleinu. Where he speaks about the Indian of Ben Sarah and Moira on the psukim of v'chashaktaba, this idea that a person has a cheshek, like the lashon the Torah uses by Shechem and Dina, which Yaakov Avinu understood meant that there was really a shidduch here between Shechem and Dina, and he was disappointed with the shvatim that they reacted too quickly to the idea. Take a look at the Racham HaKadosh, not just that there are, will you find big yisodos in Chasidus and in Kabbalah and in Yonim, very, very beautiful things there. But you understand, stam, how a shidduch works, the idea of a choshaktaba. But really what he's bringing out there, which is very important for us, which we mentioned last time, is that we're not looking for a physical hamshacha. Like Shlomo Zalman says, that's a kinyan meshicha, which is cornered by behemoth. Right, we're looking for a Mashiach Ilah, a higher form of a Mashiach. And therefore the idea of my an Isha who is a Yafas Toyar is that the Torah says that she has to become disgusting to him physically. And as the Arachem HaKadosh says, that's in order to bring out whether there's a real Neshama connection here or not. Because if he just has a hamshacha, you know, like he had when he took her in battle when she was dressed up all beautiful in order to be machshel him, so that doesn't say anything about a hamshacha. So if a person is going out with a girl, or vice versa, and he feels that there's some type of physical attraction there, so then that's something now a person has to contend with. That becomes a machitza for him now. But of course, everybody's trying to look their best and to impress, but that's all chitzonius, and it puts a bigger challenge upon the couple to be able to discern whether or not there's something which is truly here or not. And that's what the Torah says, by an Eishas Yifas Torah, you have to take away the Yifas Torah of her and to try to see her for who she is. And if after that he feels that there's something there, then that's a siman that it belongs to him. I guess we can say, after having these hakdamos and yesodos, that we're ready to discuss be'ezras Hashem some of the more practical aspects of dating. One of the first questions that a person asks himself after he's gone through high school and gone to yeshiva or to seminary, a person asks himself the question, am I ready to date? Or just becholius, is there a zman? What's the zman? Is there an age in which is appropriate for a person to consider to date or to start dating? So, lucky for us, we don't have to go searching very far because Chazal speak about this. But what's challenging for us is that it's not so pashtut to Chazal mean, of course, like in anything. But Chazal koveya ben shmonas v'lechopa. And by the age of 20, Chazal say tipach atzmaisav, that if a person is delaying until the age of 20, tipach atzmaisav, which means to say that even his bones start to rot. And this idea of bones starting to rot is more of an idea which actually sheds light on a very deep concept in marriage. And that is, as we'll get to, Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully, B'siyata D'Shemaya, that not only is the chasan and kala, is the bond between them, a spiritual bond, that they literally share one neshama, but they also literally share one guf. The secret of basar mi basari etzam me'atzamai. That by the age of 20, if a person is not mechadish his guf by marrying an isha, then it starts to degenerate. But we'll come to that in Mirtz Hashem. That has to do more with understanding the deep, deep kesher, and not just spiritually but physically, in this idea of marriage, which is yoytze ha'adam. That literally there's a recreation even on a physical level, which takes place, which we don't see with our physical eyes, obviously, but which is taking place at every single shidduch. So this idea of Shemona Asir L'Chopa, Al Pi Pshat, it's to be taken very literally. The Chazon Ish was very makbid on this. I had this chus when I was younger, in my early years, when I was probably Shemona Asir, when I was in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, I was Shemona Asir, and that's why this came up. That we had the schos as a family to know a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Rav Chaim Brim Zatzal. It was like one of the Talmidim Muvhakim of the Chazon Ish. And I went to Eretz Yisrael when I was, 17 years old. I left after 11th grade. And after a year or two learning in Eretz Yisrael, so my father had come and we were sitting with Rav Chaim. And, he started to discuss, my age. I may have been 18, maybe 19 at the time. He was discussing things with my father. And so Reb Chaim said to my father, he said, oh, Yeshua was 18. No, Shemona Asir L'Chopa, Shemona Asir L'Chopa. So, of course, my father brushed it off, No, but he was serious, he was very serious. He said, come, he'll stay, he'll live in Me'asharim with me, it'll be good. But for him, it was, Shemona Asir L'Chopa was very real. Somebody once came to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said to him, Shemona Asir L'Chopa? And he said, yeah, lav davka. That's what the response was. So the Chazon Ish said, also, so Ben Yud Gimel, the mitzvah, is also lav davka? Right? 13 and not bar mitzvah, it's also lav davka? It's also shir and chazal, right? 13 and bar mitzvah. So we say lav davka on that. The chazal gives shiur. They don't change over time. They don't change over time. The Atzei Chaim from Sigat, he once said, "Kshem shenichnas abris, ken yikanas atar lechopal amaisim tayvim." He says, "Kshem shenichnas abris at 8 days, and that's literal. So too, ken yikanas atar lechopal is also literal." Then Shmona Asir. And if Pinchas Karzer says, and we have to understand everything al pi pnimius, that's how we do things in Mitzvah Hashem. Pinchas Karzer says that by the time a person is 18, what we're really contending with here is machshavos ra'os. We don't want anybody chalila to be nichshol in any avera shechaz ve'el avatar chaz v'shal. And when the machshavos start to come up, which is normal, which is part of the human condition, is that Hashem created an attraction between men and women. Is that when a person starts to have machshavos of these things, it creates kitrugin and shemaim, and that can impair the shidduch. It's a very deep thing. Meaning it can create a kitrug in the actual shidduch. It's not just that a person is now struggling in his avodas Hashem. He can actually start to struggle in finding gezeva because of these things. The Chazal tell us that by the age of 18, which is of course in Yenav Chai, as the Pasuk says, Ve'echayim im Isha, that a person reaches a certain pedestal of chiyus when he reaches the age of 18. That Chazal Magala, that it's his man, that a person is already looking. He's already looking. He already feels that sense of incompletion that he would like to be with a partner. And that's a totally normal thing. Chazal is saying, this is the Zman. Just like there's a time to plant, and if you plant in the wrong season, you're not going to have Atzlacha. There's a time, and there's a season, there's an ace for a man to have a wife, for a wife to have a husband. And that's Shemona Asri. We don't want that a person should already be older. Many times what happens is that a person gets older, and he says to himself, you know what, I wish I was married. A person has to be Ruach Hanoah a little bit. You don't want to start dating when already you wish you could be married by now. You want to be Ruach Hanoah knowing that you're going to be a little bit older, that you want to be start to look now because it may not happen overnight. And we can never judge, by the way. Some people, they find their shidduch right away, and some people, they don't. And it doesn't mean they're not doing anything, that they're doing everything wrong. It doesn't mean that at all. Right? The Sefer Hasidim says that Yosef got married at the age of 30, where his brothers got married very, very young. Chazal say that all the Shvatim were born with their twins, and that was their shidduch. Whereas Yosef was not born with the twin, and he married at the age of 30. Does that mean that Yosef is doing something wrong? About or not? But we can't judge and say that this person is doing something right, this one's doing something wrong, because they get married later. We don't know. We don't know the cheshbonos of Hashem. Right? Yosef's shidduch was asnas that was waiting for him in Mitzrayim. So we can never judge. Okay, but we have to be Ruach Hanoah a little bit. The Devei Chaim is Malam Mitzchos a little bit, and he says that since for the first 3 years of a person's life, the Torah says, Shalosh Shanim Arelim, that a person is like an Arel, he's not Chayav and Mitzvos at all. So maybe it could be that Shemona Asri L'Chuppah means that 18 years from the age of 3, the Hainu at the age of 21. Okay. The Gemara speaks about in Yevamos about marrying off girls samach lepirkan, and those who do v'yadata kishalom ahalech, it's going to be good. A person has to be mindful of the zman, and not already to start thinking about marriage when he's already past that time where he wishes already he was married, and it's hard. But a person doesn't know when it's going to happen, and therefore, as the Gemara says. The Gemara uses the lashon of Mason Nosev Itza, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that there needs to be a certain sense of patience, and like we said before, not to be rushed into checking out the girl before you go out, but just a certain sense of being makabel, that no matter how long it takes, I don't know how long it's going to take, that I made it in the long run. And that itself is mesugel for a person to find his shidduch. When he says from the beginning, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know that having an Isha is a Yeshua, it's as you may Mashem, I say Shemai Ba'aretz. That it's the same thing like in this galus, that when a Jew says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Afal pi shismamiya im kozeh achakal b'chol yom she'avai, that in itself is ma'ir the geula. That when a person is not doichik as a case, that he says, I can't handle it anymore. I know that there's a zman. When a person is makabel that, it brings the zman closer. Because he's displaying an emunah, he's displaying a sense of ayin, a sense of biltel, like we spoke about in the first year. And that brings the shidduch closer. Just on, there's a halachic aspect to this also. The very first Siman Evan Ezer discusses, if a person is learning Torah, and he wants to push off the Zman of Shemona Asri L'Chuppah, whatever that Zman is, can he or can he not? The Rambam says he could. Ein kitzva l'davar. He says he can push it off as long as he wants. The Rosh says it can't be. He can't push it off as long as he wants, because the person has mitzvahs to accomplish by getting married. So the Levush and the Shulchan Aruch Harav say, that a person can learn as long as he's until this Ashayimali Kreis of Bishasa Poskim. Until the person becomes a Talmud Chacham, if he feels literally that he's living by his Torah, that he has aspirations to be a Talmud Chacham, so that's Bechlal. Everybody would agree that a person can continue to learn Torah. The Yamshel Shlomo says not to go past the age of 24. The Chazon Ish says that was only meant for Yechidim, but not just for anybody who wants to learn Torah. Somebody once came to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, "No." He must have said this a lot. You know, "No, when I say the Chuppah." So he said, "Nafshi chashka b'tayra k'ben azay." No, I'm like, "Ben azay, nafshi chashka b'tayra." So the Chazon Ish said to him, "And Abai and Rava is not good enough for you?" They got nourished when I say the Chuppah. So you're looking at Ben azay. He was like a das yachid. But what about Abai and Rava? Person should be sure later. It's not always time to know this man, and we live in a society where going out at the age of 18 is crazy. It might not be so crazy. Every situation is unique. It's different. It requires a hashkafic touch, a halachic clarification. And of course, a person having a cheshbon of parnasa, which is also sugis in the Gemara. A person should have a cheshbon when he goes into marriage, how he's going to sustain himself. It could be that cheshbon is that he's relying on the other side to provide. If he wants to continue learning, okay, that should be spoken about with the Das Torah also. We're not going to give, you know, call him on that right now. But that should be thought through. That there should be some type of a cheshbon. For some people, their bitachon is their cheshbon. Okay, the person needs to have yishalates on that too. Not so simple either. The person has to know his madrega. Somebody once came to the Beis Yisrael. And the Beis Yisrael said to him, from Ger, he said to him, "Nu, Shmona Esrei l'chopa?" So he says, I daven a long Shmona Esrei. So the Beis Yisrael said, he says, "Well, sometimes if you daven a long Shmona Esrei, you miss out on the Kedusha." Very sharp. Sometimes a person gets read a shidduch. Let's say the girl is older. She had to go out with the girl and she's older. So, Al-Pi Kabbalah, like the Ramaz writes, that there is an inyan for a man, he says, to be older than the girl. That the Rachamim, which is in the Chesed, which is represented by the Tzad Yamin, which is the Zachar, should be Misgabir on the Isha, which represents an aspect of Din, an aspect of Vura. And the Sfarim say, but still, he shouldn't be more than 10 years older than her, because then it can cause the children to be weak. However, the Poskim say that this is not really much of something to be concerned about. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was once asked this question, and he brought a raya from Yocheved and Amram, that Amram was much younger than Yocheved. Much, much younger than Yocheved. And they didn't do too bad with their children either. Michal David Weissmandel from Muncie, who survived the war, he was very instrumental in bringing Yidden from Europe, saving them from the Holocaust. He was a big askin in Talmud Chacham. He was a genius in Gematrias also. So he brought a raya, being mitzayef different Gemaras together, that Reish Lakish was actually younger than his wife, who was the sister of Rabbi Yochanan. And even Al-Pi Kabbalah, Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel, who's a posik and a makubal in Yerushalayim today. So he has a tshuva in Vayashev Hayam where he's mairich, barichos, that even Al-Pi Kabbalah, it's accepted that the woman can be older than the man. So therefore, even Al-Pi Kabbalah and certainly Al-Pi Psak, you know, many times the girls who are older, you know, they could be more mature, and it's not a psul. It's not a psul, Chalila. So just because a girl is older, that, you know, she's having a harder time, there must be there's something wrong. There's a zman. And we have to acknowledge that. We can't passel people because of their ages. Because we do things be'emunah. And we know that when there's a munah, there's going to be an amshacha. And if it's not a munah, then it's not the time and it's not the right one. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's geshaft. the Sfarim speak about the idea of having a shadchan. You know, we many times see a shadchan as a convenience, or sometimes as an inconvenience. We're very eager to drop the shadchan. But Alpi Pnimius, having a shadchan is, as the tzaddikim bring out, is a very important thing. Of course, whenever we look in the Torah for ideas, we always look to the first place in the Torah where we have that. And that serves as a model for us as to how that should be done. And the very first shidduch, which the Torah dedicates at least to a shidduch, is the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. And we have the shadchan as Eliezer. What's interesting is that when Moshe wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael, he sent Meraglim. And one of the reasons why he sent Meraglim is because Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is a bechin of a shidduch. And that's in fact why Hashem told Moshe to look into Eretz Yisrael, because there's an inyan of Asar the Kavis, just Isha Atshirena, to see Eretz Yisrael, to see the shidduch. And the Meraglim was like a bechina of sending a shadchan. What's interesting is that Moshe married his wife Tzipora without a shadchan. And Moshe ended up divorcing Tzipora. He was a Baal Madrega. It wasn't, you know, I'm sure they had tremendous shalom bayis. But it's not a sibil adavar, it's a simil adavar. But there's an inyan to have a shadchan. The Sfas Emes had a brother, Reb Shimon. And of course, they were very hamish with each other, and Reb Shimon wanted to propose a shidduch with his brother, the Sfas Emes, which is not uncommon in the Hasidic circles. And the Sfas Emes says, "Where's the shadchan?" They were brothers. He said, "But where's the shadchan?" He says, "Don't you know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to make a shidduch with Klal Yisrael, Moshe was the shadchan? When he came to the other Ummah Sa'ulim, there was no Shadchan, and it didn't work out. But when he came with Moshe, who was the Shadchan, then it worked out." Moshe says about himself, "Anoichi Oimed Bein Hashem Ubein Echem. I stand in between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What's interesting is that Oimed Bein Hashem Ubein Echem, which is the Lashon of the Torah, is Gematria Shidduch. The Moshe represents the Shadchan, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of Heschel from Krakow, he brings a remez, you know, from the Gemara, which we've quoted before, which says, "Matza isha matza tov." Whereas another pasuk says, "Maitza anies isha marmi maves." So he says very nice, b'derech remez, he says, if it's maitza ani, if I find the isha, meaning without a shadchan, then it's marmi maves. And perhaps this sheds light on the Ayim Ka'inyan, like we spoke about before, that the Shidduch doesn't come about in a Bechin of Ani, of the Yeshus, of the Gaiva. It comes about B'derech Ayin. And part of that Ayin is that the Shidduch will be made. I don't make the Shidduch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the Shidduch. And the Shadchan represents how HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the Shidduch for me. It could be that it has a very deep root, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, so probably we don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Shadchan in that case. It was Pashat. Or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Shadchan. I don't know exactly. But it seems like that when things will be mevurer in an Olam HaElyon, in a higher world, you won't need a Shadchan anymore. But as long as there's still confusion, and as long as the world is not B'tikuno yet, then there's a necessity for a Shadchan. You find that by Yaakov, when he married Rachel, there was no Shadchan there. Yaakov came, and the moment he saw Rachel, the shidduch was made already. When Yaakov represents Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, we know Yaakov is Shofar the Adam. So just like Adam HaRishon, with Chava there was no shadchan, because there was only one woman, there was only one birth, the only one guy. That was the world that Yaakov lived in. There was only one of us. And for him to see Rachel, there was a bechina that there was nobody else in the world. But we're not on that diagram. And part of the whole idea of a shidduch of Kiddushin is that we make her usur on him kehegdish. That's what the lashon of kiddushin the Gemara says. That's also part of recreating a situation in the Adam and Chava. But that's not for now. But b'derech klal is an inyan of having a shadchan. Shadchan is a very tricky business. First of all, the shadchan has tremendous responsibility. Chassam Sefer says that to try to put a girl and a guy together, which is not a shidduch chaguna, is like shatnez. It's a klayim. It hurts. It's like an iser. Darsha tzemer u'pishtim, we say in Eishes Chayil. It's a tremendous achrayas. In the Maril, in his town, the Maril was a shadchan, and he made all the shidduchim in his town. And whatever he said, people would do by. It's an amazing match. If you go to a tzaddik like that, and they can tell you, you know, I don't think that they listened to him just, you know, like we said before. Even the tzaddik many times doesn't know. But he was the shadchan, and he made sure things were done b'kedusha. A shadchan is supposed to, one of the jobs of a shadchan is to preserve the sanctity of the process. That's the chora, the pashup shadchan, why you need a shadchan. If guys are finding girls on their own, and there's no whistleblower, then it could be that it can lead to pretzis. I like to quip, it's more of a b'derech tzachas. But you find that the Torah says, Gimel nizdavu etzol ha-be'er, that there were three people who find their shidduch by a be'er. Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe. So nowadays, in the Gaya Shevel, they find their shidduch by a bar. Bar is a lashon be'er, right? Bar, be'er. They're both drinking places. Places you find drinks. Maybe that's Pshat Inve HaGefen of Inve HaGefen. There's Inve HaGefen B'Kedusha, and then there's Inve HaGefen Shalom B'Kedusha. And we know the Shadchan, he may like to twist the truth a little bit. And this comes from a very deep site. If you take a look at Rav Moshe Wolfson in the Sefer Munas Yitecha and Pashat Chayisar, you'll see some very nice tirades on this. He quotes the Yaivitz, which is a little well known, who says that Shadchan is Rashi Tevo, Sheker Dover Kesef Notel. He speaks Sheker and he takes the money. Rashi Tevo Shadchan. The Alexander Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, used to say, you can only believe the Shadchan in two things. That the father has a son and that the other father has a daughter. That's it. You have to do your research. You know, you can't rely on the Shadchan. But of course, there's a side to what he was saying also. The Kehilas Yaakov brings other Rashi Tevos for a Shadchan, which implies the depth of having a Shadchan. He writes, that Shadchan is Rashi Tevos Sheva Na'aros Demovin Len Kala. The seven Na'aros which we bring to a Kala. Like we know by Esther that she had Sheva Na'aros, the Megillah says. He says, Shadchan is also Rashi Tevos Dalid Nahirin Sheishvine Kala. That the four lights of the Sheishvinen of the Kala, or Kursaya Shevivin Dinur. Like the chair, the fire coming out of the chair. These are Kabbalistic. He's talking Kabbalah. But he's saying that Shadchan al-Pi Kabbalah is a very important thing and has very, very high roots. It's not just something which is just to preserve the sanctity. That is for sure true al-Pi Pshad, thus is the Iker. But even in the higher places, having a Shadchan is a very important thing. The Devei Chaim from Tzanz and the Reziner, they used to give shadchanas to every single shadchan who set up their children. Whether it worked out or if it didn't work out, they would give shadchanas. And they would say, and this is based on the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that when there's a bas which goes out in Shemayim, bas ploni leploni, it's not so simple. Right? Hashem says, what are we going to do with bas ploni? And everybody has an idea. The malachim, they propose different ideas. And each idea is a bechin of a shidduch. Every single shidduch which is suggested is like a havamina, which was suggested in Shemayim. You have to go through those havamina. So he would give shadchanas to each and every one, because this was part of the Seder. It doesn't just happen that way. Whatever is proposed in Shemayim, sometimes it's a real havamina, sometimes it's not a real havamina. You may get a name and you disqualify it for whatever reason. But if you do so, it's because there was a hesiris for that name in Shemayim. That's also, it means something. It's part of the process. Of course, the importance al pi halacha of paying a shadchan. The Sasama says that even Eliezer was paid his shadchanis, that he was Yotzi Chazasa Michal Aur Lichal Baruch, that was Hashem's shadchanis, or Avram's or Yitzchak's shadchanis that was paid to Eliezer. What could be a greater shadchanis than that? I think either the stipler of the Chazon Ish used to say that if a girl was getting older and she couldn't find her shidduch, he may have said, you know, it's well known that they spoke about a kiddush for the daughter, but you know, maybe you didn't pay the shadchan. Some unfinished business with your shidduch. If they couldn't have children, paying the shadchan is not just a hashkafic thing. It's a al pi halacha. It's a service which is due to them for their sheker. They get paid for that. This idea that a shidduch is also considered to be a mitziah, that a person is looking for something which is lost. The Svarim speak about this idea of many times as a siman ledavar, not a sibah ledavar, is that a person takes for himself a shidduch, either a girl taking a boy or a boy taking a girl, davka from somebody he did not know before. The Klaus Magar Rebbe Darsh in the pasuk we said before, that if it's ha'isha, meaning the woman I knew already, ha'isha, then it could be marmi maves. If it's matzah isha, matzah tov. If it's matzah isha, meaning that I found an isha. I didn't know her from before. I saw quoted from a sefer Migdalus Merkachim in Parshas Beshalach, where he says, quoting Chazal, that there were four kitos who stand by the Yamsuf. And everybody had an idea how Hashem would save them. But nobody thought that the Yeshua would come from within the Yom Suf itself. And he says, this is Pshat Kasha Zivugim Kiviyas Yom Suf. That everybody thinks that the Shidduch is going to come from here, down the street, from this guy, from that guy, this Shadchan. But really it's a Metziah. And just like a person, when he finds a Metziah, it's Shaloy Ayla Al Daitai. The Gemara calls it a person, it comes Behezach Adas. So too, a Shidduch comes from a place that Yimamish didn't expect. And of course, it's not a siba ledover that it's the right zivug, but it's a simin ledover that it is. But as I mentioned before, that I've seen from my own experience, and it just makes sense al pisvar. Not only that when a guy goes out with a girl in high school, is there no shadchan usually, and that causes complications, but it just usually does not work out for the best. Usually does not work out for the best. For many reasons. So, for those that it's already too late, you know, Hatzlacha Rabba, Davin, and Bezer Shem should be good. Doesn't mean to say that Bechlal, it's not going to work out. It could be very, very nice. But if a person is in a position where he's about to start dating, right, and there's a girl down the block, right, a person should think twice before jumping into something like that. Let's start the sugya a little bit. Be'ezus Hashem. That if a person does the research and it sounds good and he agrees to go out on a date and she goes out, she agrees to go out on a date and they go out. So of course we always have to keep in mind here, and of course it's pasha, but it should just be stressed, that throughout the dating process, the person has to keep in mind that he's in this for a tachlis. It's not like we want to be dating. We want to be married. And it breaks my heart that I've heard people say, you know, after they're engaged, like, oh, I missed the dating process. What did you miss the dating process for? You had fun, as if this was normal to hang out with the opposite gender and to schmooze. That's It's only because it's a tachlis that we allow such things. Rav Kook writes that because the matter of tznius between men and women is of such vital importance to preserve the sanctity of Klal Yisrael, right? We don't allow necessarily for a man to go over to a woman and to say shalom per se. Because even though Midos Tovos is of the utmost importance, and we really wish that we could say Shalom Aleichem to every single person on the street, but because Tznius is so important to maintain the levels of Kedusha, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, we have to be Mevater on certain Derech Eretz sometimes. You can imagine to sit down, a guy sitting down with a girl sitting down with a guy for hours at a time, as if this is something which is just like accepted. It's an Isla Asas Lashem. And for us to try to minimize that as much as possible, especially in the Hasidic circles, as little as possible. We're trying to create into Me'ura Hamshacha. That's Kuli Amal Pligi about that. Okay, so how you do that? There's a difference in Mahalach. But once that happens, then you've succeeded. And that was the Tachas of all this. So from the beginning of the date, or from the moment that a person says that he's Bechlal the Parash of dating, yeah, a person has to remember that he's in this for a Tachas. Doesn't mean that a person is going to be business-minded or matter-of-fact about things, but it just means that a person can't lose sight of the goal. It changes a person's whole mahalach, the whole gisha of how and why he goes out, changes if he doesn't lose sight of why he's involved in this. Not to just get lost in the dating process. That I'm in this for a goal, and by keeping the goal in mind, make sure that he gets to that goal. What we're trying to create from the dating process is to be Mo'ara the Hamshacha. Is this my Zivug or is this not my Zivug? And that Chain and that Hamshacha, the Pachin of Ruach HaKodesh Bizmaninu, is what we're looking to be Mo'ara. The way that we do things by us in these circles is very different, of course, than how they do it in the Hasidic circles. But the first thing that a person needs to keep in mind is to be Mo'ar with Anakuda. And it doesn't happen just like that. And a person has to be realist, and you can't expect that on the first date that's going to just boom. It can happen. There's a lot which comes with seeing the Isha, also the Kaddish is Ashirena, you seeing her, it from that first moment of him seeing her seeing him, it means something. But of course we can't trust it because it's usually just very chitzonistic. We're not Yitzchak's and Yaakov's and Moshe Rabbeinu's. That we can feel the koyach de hamshacha de kedusha. We're very taken by physical, external appearances. The first thing we need to keep in mind, of course, not to size up a person right away just because of how they appear to us. To be a pneumistic person means to not to judge a book by its cover, and to know that the Iker, what we're looking for is we're looking for this pneumist connection, which is the Midos Tovos, which is, as Chazal put it, the Kala She'ina HaYafos, which is Mayran, the Neku, the pneumist of a person. But a person can't expect that Hamshacha to come right away. And that Hamshacha comes out as we start to get to know somebody a little bit better. We bring out the pneumius of that person more and more. And as the more that we spend time with the person, and the more that we discuss things with the person, the more that hamshacha begins to reveal itself. But from date number one, the person has to know that it's not going to be there right away. And usually one date is not enough for a person to know almost anything. He may know that it's mamish not shayach. Like we said before, that after a date, the person can really have, you know, mashcheni acharecha narutza, a certain birur. That if on the date there's nothing, and then after the date there's nothing, there's no chiv to go out a second time. If you mamish feel that it's not there. And it's not a rachmanis on her or him to go out on a second date to make them feel good. That's just losing sight of the tachlis. We're not in it to make people feel good, even at the expense of a derech eretz. You don't spend time with a girl and with a guy for 2, 3, 4 hours because they may have felt bad that they didn't get a second date. So you tell the shadchan, listen, you know, she's a very nice girl, he's a very nice guy, you know, but it's just not for me. It's not supposed to be an insult. It's a very personal thing. It's a very personal thing. It doesn't mean that that person's not going to find a zivug. They do. And it should be very good for them. But this idea of going out on a second date as a courtesy, and it doesn't do anybody any favors. Rav Nachman in the Kuti Maran in Simin Vav, he has a very important piece in Avodas Hashem Bechlal, which other tzaddikim speak about, which comes from the pasuk which Yecheskel describes in the Ma'aser Merkava, v'hachayos ratzo v'shov, that in Avodas Hashem there's an idea of ratzo v'shov, which means moving forward and coming back. Moving forward and coming back. And Avodas Hashem is based on this, and Bechlal, the dating process, is also very much shaykh to this Avodah of Ratzo V'Shov. What's interesting is that after this piece in Simin Vav, where Rav Nassin adds on about, you know, what he heard from Nachman, he explains a little bit more, he says that this idea of being Baki B'Ratzo and Baki B'Shov, that's how Rav Nachman calls it. He says, Baki is meramis to a sod, to a shem HaKadosh, which is called Yabok. And the Arizal says that there's two secrets of Yabok. Yabok is the gematria 112. 112 is the gematria Elokim Havaya. And Yabok is also the gematria Ekya Havaya Agnus. One's called Yichuda Ilah, one's called Yichuda Tata. In fact, this Yabok is a very strong connection to the Kavanah for going to the mikvah. And he says that when Rav Nachman speaks about another piece being Baki Baratzo, Baki Beshov, this Baki is the Osios Yabok. And he's referring to a very mystical thing. And he starts to explain this based on Shemus HaKadoshim. It's a very, very beautiful piece. And he says that this idea of being Baki Baratzo, Baki Beshov, he relates it to the Kavanos of Chodesh Elul, which the Ari says comes from the pasuk of Hanosein Bayom Derech. What's interesting, as it pertains to us, is that Hanosein Bayom Derech is a remez to Kriyas Yamsuf, which the whole idea of Shiduchim is Kasher Zivug in Kriyas Yamsuf. And in fact, the whole idea of Elul is Elul is Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, which we said that which is Merames on the Hamshacha. That Ani L'doidi V'doidi means that there's a hamshacha between the parties. And to be even more specific, we won't get into detail now, is that Elul is merames on the shidduch process, and Yom Kippur is already the chasana. To be more specific, Tu B'Av, which is really 2 weeks before Elul, is really the inyan of the shidduch, as the Gemara says, that Tu B'Av was the day where the girls would go out and they would dance, and the husbands would have the Ruach HaKodesh to be able to choose their wives. Right, that's a very big simcha to have a Ruach HaKodesh to find your wife. Mark calls it the Mishnah says it's a Yom Tovim like this, Klai Yisrael. That's why Tu B'Av is like Yom Kippur, that even at the beginning of the Shidduch process, on Tu B'Av, a person has a flash of his Yom Kippur, meaning he's able to have a flash of who his Shidduch is and what the Chuppah would be like. Like they say, Sana Eilecha. Maybe raise up your eyes, like we spoke about before in the second chair, to have eyes of Nisuin, Sana Einecha. That a person has to go into the Shidduch process with Heliga eyes, with eyes of Nisuin, to see things like Pipnimius. The Kaddish Isha Ad Shirena, with these Heliga eyes of Nisuin. And Hanosa V'Yom Derech also implies the idea that the Gemara says at the beginning of Kiddushin, that the whole idea of Derech Bishlosha Drachim and Isha is Nikna. Drachim is the Ishli, meaning of an Isha, which also pertains to this idea of Hanaisin Bayam Darech. But there's an idea in my Shiduchim, therefore, of Baki Beratza, Baki Vishav. And there's going to be dates which are called Ratzodik dates, and there's going to be dates which are called Shov. There's dates where the date is made to move forward, and there's other dates which, although you move forward, you don't actually see how you move forward. But there's a moving forward. There's always a movement forward. I'll probably have to continue this, perhaps in more detail, in the coming Shir Mitzvah Hashem. But just b'derech klal, a first date is meant very much to break the ice. Which means that you sit down with a girl and the girl with a guy, and you speak. And you prepare things to speak about beforehand, like the stipler said. You don't just walk into a date unprepared. Right? Whenever you go to an important meeting, you come prepared. You come prepared with things to talk about. Right? If you really want to have something which is tachlis orientated, you come up with a plan. You have questions, you know, what's your family like? You know, where did you go for school or for seminary? Did you enjoy? Questions. The way that the stipler says it is like, you know, what do you like learning? You know, what did they teach you about this sugya in Nach? Like, you know, not the same questions which we may ask per se on a first date. Of course, especially by them in those circles, they don't have really more than one date. So, you know, they're asking, you know, these types of questions. Everything is much more b'kedusha than the way that we do it in our circles. We do things more al pi seichel, I guess. Then I'll be pnimis and emuna. But to come up with a plan, what you're going to talk about. But it's very much to create a first connection. Already by the second date, a person wants to get closer or deeper, to reveal deeper things about that person than the date before. But that's very hard to do unless a person gets to know that other person better in a different type of a setting. What I mean by that is as follows. You know in your own relationship with your friends that the way that you really get to know each other better is not by sitting across the table with each other and schmoozing. It's if you go out and you play a little basketball, or you take a drive together, or you do something which is an activity or which is fun. Right, that creates a certain sense of comfort between the two of you, and that you feel like after that bonding experience, you feel closer to that person. And by feeling closer to that person, you become more relaxed with that person, and you feel like you know that person, you can trust that person, and therefore you'll be willing to share more things with that person because of the mere fact that you spent time together and you bonded with that person in a more meaningful way. The same thing is true when it's going out, when a guy's going out with a girl, vice versa, that the first date is going to be very superficial because you're strangers to each other. And you're not going to share meaningful things about yourself with a stranger. And anybody who does on a first date is a red flag. Like, I'm a total stranger to you. Like, why are you sharing these things with me? It can mean that a person doesn't know proper etiquette or gedarim as to, like, you know, what's appropriate for when. If you don't know the person, then you're not going to feel comfortable sharing things about yourself or even asking about the other person because you have to be sensitive to the fact that you don't know each other. You don't just share deep things with anybody who comes your way. You don't know this person. So the first date can create some type of a kesher, and by the second date, you would like to know more about that person, but you realize that you're limited because you're just a stranger. But how do you make yourself not a stranger? You spend quality time with that person. So whereas the first date, if you sat down and you had a drink with each other, which is like that bar bechina, you know, you share something. It's not just good to just sit across the table without anything, without drinking anything. You should drink, you should have something to drink with each other. Because right? that's a way of breaking the ice, no pun intended, to getting to know that person better, to sharing that drink with each other. But already by the second date, if you do that again, then you're just hitting the same wall which you had on the first date. And if you've done this before, you know what I'm talking about. Right? By the second date already, there should be some type of an activity so that you break the ice, so that you've created a new, deeper sense of comfort with that person, so that by the third date, when you sit down again, you'll be able to now share more things which are deeper, which is more meaningful to speak about. This is the Indian of Ratzo, Vishov, Viratzo. Vishov. Right? By the first date, there's a certain sense of Viratzo. And by the first date, because that first date is a Ratzo, you should be able to have a good sense after the first date when I tried to move forward with our conversations, which is what was meaningful. Was it good or was it not good? Was there a step forward or was there not? It's not, don't expect them to take big steps after a first date because you can't. Because you can't. There's a wall. There's a wall in the relationship. By the second date, where you're schmoozing very little perhaps, but you're spending time with each other and it's just mabakach talk, but it's in order to just to be casual, what you do is that it's like a bitulu zehu kiyumo. It's like you're mevatel from the tachlis a little bit, but you're shedding away at the layers, at that which is separating between the two of you. And this is the type of a date which is called shov, that you pull back a little bit, but and you know from after the date whether or not you want to see that person again. That's the type of a date which is the shov, is on the date, but it's mashcheni acharecha narutza, that after the date you feel the pull. You'll know more from a date like this after it's over than you will during the date itself. Do I want to see this person again? Do I feel that now that I've shed some layers, that I feel that there's more of an openness between us, do I feel that hamshacha now pulling me to her and her pulling herself to me? That's what's taking place after the second date. That's mashcheni acharecha narutza. Again, narutza is a lashon of ratzo. There's an acharecha narutza and there's a ratzo b'shas ma'isa. And by the third date, you're ready to have another ratzo. To sit down again and to talk, maybe this time not just over a drink, maybe this time at a place where you can actually eat together. And again, these dates don't need to be long. They don't need to be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. That's mamash overkill. What is that for? Person can't rush into things. Don't think that if you have 6, 7, 8 dates, you're accomplishing 2, 3 dates in one shot. You're not. You're making it harder because you're taking up conversation and growth for future dates. Dates do not need to be long in order to accomplish a lot. The shorter they are, and the more tachlis they're related to, in a way where it's not pushy, of course, that it comes natural, the more that you can accomplish. It could be a miyut machzik meru, but you can accomplish a lot in a very short amount of time. Look at the chassidim. They sit down for a couple hours and they have everything because they're able to create that hamshacha much better than we can. But long dates don't mean good dates. Fakert. That's chitzonius. Impenius, that's the quality of the date which matters. And if during a 2-hour date you're able to create some type of connection, you could be a gibor and you can end the date and you can say, you know what? Let's in your mind, you can say to yourself, let's end it here. And then we'll come back again later, another time. Because many times, if you felt you've created that kesher and you end the date, already after the date, you really are looking forward to see that person. And she's looking forward to seeing you. But it's about quality. Each date is supposed to be that you're margish, that you took a step forward now. Whether that's during the date itself, or that's on the shov. Meaning after the third date where you've sat down and then you're going out on a fourth date, right? You've only been able to speak about on the third date things which are meaningful, which now you can't go any weiter anymore. You're going to need another shov. You're going to need another experience with that person to break things down more so that by the fifth date, you're able to be really inside and really to talk about deeper things. And the walls are going down. And that the seichel and the hearts are opening up, and there's a pesach which is being created. Pischili achay sirayasi. You want to create psachim. Each date is supposed to create another pesach, another psicha, so that it's open, so you can go weiter. Because if the hole is very tiny, then you can only go. You have to crouch to get in. But if it gets a little bigger, then you can go in like a mensch. But there should be that hishtalshalus which is taking place. That one date to the next, that if it's not during the date, it's after the date, that the ratzo is building, which means that's the mashcheni acharecha narutza. This is the lamaisa, the halacha lamaisa of the hashkafas, which we spoke about. And it's again, it's not a matter of how long the dates are. Faker, it's kolamos of goreya, many times. Don't expect that you'll be able to finish things off because you have a really good date and you push it off to make it longer, as if it's going to be better for you. Fakert, you can end the date and you can accomplish much, much more that way. Bechlal, you can break it down without going into too much detail, because there's many ways of looking at this, as in the Beis HaMikdash, that there's the Azara, the Ezras Nashim, and there's the Ezras Kohanim, and then there's the Heichal, and there's the Kodesh Kadashim. Ultimately, you want to get to the Kodesh Kadashim, which is really the Chuppah. Right? But you begin in the Ezras Nashim. When you first walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Ezras Nashim. Ezras Nashim means you're dating. That's why you're in the Ezras Nashim. Right? And then you go from the Ezras Nashim, you have to go through the Pesach until you get into the Ezras Kohanim. And then from there you get to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is usually that act of Mesiras Nefesh that a person is willing to jump. The first thing you encounter is the Mizbeach, and that's in the Azara. That's the act of Mesiras Nefesh which you spoke about, that a person is willing to jump, he's willing to make that sacrifice. But it doesn't have to be a klal of 7, 8, 9, 10 dates. Usually if it gets that far, you've already missed the jump. Either you missed the jump or the whole process which was taking place was not kiseder. You weren't following the pattern of Ratzav Bishof. So if you're having many dates where consecutively you were sitting by the table, or many dates of just chilling and not enough tachlis, then a person has to have a system. And so what should I do now? What should I do now? Well, there should be a mahalach. There should be a mahalach how to get to the tachlis. That a person grows in his avodas Hashem, in Ratzav Hashem, this is the derech. This is the derech of Anisha. Two yaboks. Because two times yabok is gematria derech. That's what Rav Nachman says. That's what the Ari says. Two times yabok is derech. There's a yabok which is called being baki b'ratzav, being baki b'shov. If a person is baki b'ratzav, baki b'shov, that's how he finds his chayos. That's how he finds his isha. Kala shor b'le isha, shor b'le chayim, the Gemara says. And therefore, a person should seek Eitzah on this Inyan. If he's not a Baki Baratza or Baki Bashov, he should speak to somebody who's at least close to a Baki Baratza or Baki Bashov. There's a certain Bekiyus which goes into this. A person shouldn't think that it's just Hefkervelt, Fakert. And if a person has a Shadchen, when to drop the Shadchen, right? The Shadchen is there in order to be a certain sense like a crutch, because things are not, the avenues are not so open, that Psacham are not so open. There's an aspect of dropping the Shadchen. When a person gets a little bit older, and wiser in the relationship, it becomes more meaningful, right? That it's like, this is a very beginning in Pnimi Satora. This is what's called the stages of development of growth, where there's what's called, it goes from what's called Ibur to Yanika to Mochin. Ibur means that when you're in the womb, Yanika means that you're nursing, and then Mochin means that you can do things on your own. Okay. There's a stage in every single growth process called Yanika. Yanika means that you're sucking, that you're getting something from an outside source, because you can't do it on your own yet. But when you get a little bit older, then you don't need the yanika anymore. Then you have the mochin already. That the avenues are open, and that's the same thing true in any relationship. Is that there can be a yanika sometimes, and that when the yanika, when you don't need that yanika anymore, when you've gotten everything you need from that, then you say goodbye to that, and you're able to do it on your own. Just like, you know, a butterfly, you know, when it's a worm, whatever it's called, and then it needs to turn into a butterfly, so it goes into a cocoon, and that's supposed to preserve it. But when it doesn't need the cocoon anymore and it wants to fly, then it drops it. Now it can fly better, because if you're holding on to that cocoon the whole time, it's going to hamper, it's going to impede your ability to fly. But as long as you need to be yonic from that, you need to nurture yourself, it should be there to protect you and to nurture yourself from that, then that's what it's there for. It also takes a chachma to know, like, when the yanik is over, you don't just drop the shadchan. I have a rule after 2 days to drop the shadchan. Every situation is going to be different. Do you need the crutch or do you not need the crutch? Shadchan is supposed to be there to help. It's supposed to be an azer while you're in the Ezras Nashim. I'm not going to put any klalim per se. Maybe we'll talk about this more and we'll end off. We'll end off here, you know, in terms of there is to be more specific about the, you know, maybe the amount of dates of the tachlis of each date. We basically, the Ezras Hashem set off certain klalim. If you're mistakalim, it's pointing in the mush a little bit, but the Ezras Nashim, and then the Azara, and then the Mizbeach, and the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kodashim, there's more to take out from that, of course. but just the actual seder and the tzura of understanding the idea of ratzo v'shov, the ratzo b'pnimius in the mashcheni acharecha nodritza, keeping your eye on the goal, knowing what you're looking for, moving things weiter. But to be ma'orah that hamshacha, this is the ikar. To be ma'orah that chen, like Rav Tzadik says, that one of the Gemara says, that one of the three things that has chen is the chen isha al ishta, al isha, that the woman has to her husband. He says, that's the bechina, that's the simin to the shidduch, is that chen. That's the simin to the shidduch, is the chen. And like, chen means that you can't explain why, it just is. Because if you could say about him or about her that it's because of the looks, or it's about the yichus, if it's about the way she smiles, or her voice, or the money where she comes from, this is ava shetulya b'davar. This is not a davar sheyiskayim chalila. It needs to be that if a person says it, I don't know why, it's just right. That when I'm with her, it feels right, and when I'm not with her, I really want to be with her. And that means that's called the meshicha de'emuna, v'yirastich li be'emuna. That's the higher place. That's what we're looking to be ma'ir. And when a person has that feeling and he feels secure in that inyan and he's willing to make the jump, that's not a craziness. That's acting on that amuna, on that hamshacha b'maisa. That's the mizbeach. Okay, so mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll continue this a little bit more, b'siyata d'shemaya. And if we have the schos in mitzvah Hashem, you know, there's more than just eating. There's engagement and there's other things in mitzvah Hashem that... we'd love to talk about b'siyata d'shmaya. So let's hope that Hashem Baruch Hu will give us b'siyata d'shmaya, that it shouldn't be kashas evil and kiyas amtu, but should be b'derech kalas, to be able to find these inyanim. That there's so many people who are struggling. Everybody knows somebody who's struggling in this inyan, whether it's a girl or a guy or families, which are mamish suffering. It's mamish yisurin. It's mamish yisurin for parents or for the girls or for the guys. You know, it's be mispalo. As Yimei Hashem Ha'is Yishmai Varas, that everybody should find these evil and b'kalas. That includes the Klai Yisrael Shefan Kutribuchu and Kutribuchu Shefan Klai Yisrael. Shebezeichet Adalot Mashiach Vibiyas Gal Tzedek. B'mheir Av Yameinu Amen.